You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Great to be back. Gang's all here, ready to go, and a lot of things to talk about. Only got 3 hours to do it. Hope you can stay a while. You can watch on Peacock, download the app, watch for free. Say good morning to our great radio affiliates, numbering almost 400. You'd like to get in touch with the program, you can. Every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like, dial us up. Operator Marvin, standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, at DP Show. Got a play of the day, stat of the day. McLovin will come up with a poll question as well. A lot of guests. Peter King will join us on loan from NBC Sports. He'll join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. This is Black Monday as far as coaches getting fired. So we'll talk to Peter about those being shown the door and possible replacements there. But, you know, watching football last night, the Washington football team, they are the NFC East champions. They can come up with their NFC East championship T-shirts. But, you know, maybe on the back it would say, well, somebody had to win this division. At least that's what the NFL rules say. And you start to watch that game last night, and you're going, okay, who wants to win this game? Who doesn't want to win this game? How do you want to win this game? How do you want to lose this game? This has been a great season, story-wise, for the Washington football team when you think about it. But they've also had some embarrassments as well. But you have Ron Rivera beating cancer. You have Alex Smith's recovery from a knee injury that might have taken his leg, might have taken his life. Those are the great things. And then you have an owner who has been involved in lawsuits and payouts and investigations, and he wanted to have Dwayne Haskins drafted. They cut Dwayne Haskins. Cut him. Like, we don't want you. We really don't want you. I mean, it's hard to get cut, and you're a first-round draft pick. But they did it. They did all of these things this year, and they end up making the playoffs. And I know we're going to look at them and say, we got to change. You got to change the rule. You can't have a team that goes to the playoffs, doesn't have a winning record. All right. The last two teams with losing records to make the postseason won their first games. 2010 Seahawks, 2015 Panthers. As Ron Rivera said, don't apologize for making the playoffs. You don't have to, and they shouldn't apologize for making the playoffs. It's the Eagles who are the ones who are maybe apologizing or should apologize to some people. If I'm in Philadelphia and I'm an Eagles fan with what happened last night, where you don't have Carson Wentz dress, a healthy scratch, Jalen Hurts gets, I don't want to say benched, he got removed from the game. Nate Sudfeld, come on down. And then I'm watching it going, if you don't know what you have with Nate Sudfeld now, after 4 years, then you're clueless as an organization. So you can't go, you know, we got to see what we have with Nate Sudfeld. They still are trying to figure out what they have with Jalen Hurts here. And this was, as a lot of people thought, a middle finger to the Giants to say, we're not going to help you get into the postseason. And if you're a New York Giant fan or you play for the Giants, shut up. All right. Would you have 6 wins this year? Like, you kept you out of the playoffs. Stop. I can't believe what the Eagles said. The Eagles don't owe you anything. And as much as we want to go, oh, for the, you know, the integrity of the sport. Okay. Why is it we had no problem with the Jets losing games? Like, we're going, how could you win a game? They won a game. And people are like, how can you possibly do that? But here are the Eagles. Maybe they weren't trying to win. Maybe they wanted a better. Why is it that the Jets were allowed to do this for the number one overall pick, but the Eagles weren't? If that's what they were doing. Here's their head coach, Doug Peterson, talking about that they were trying to win.
Yes, I was coaching to win. Yes, that was my decision solely. Nate has obviously been here for 4 years. He deserved an opportunity to get some snaps. And if there's anything out there that thinks that I was not trying to win the game, Ertz is out there, Brandon Graham's out there, Darius Slay's out there. You know, all our top guys are still on the field at the end. So we were going to win the game.
No. Doug, I know it's a must-lie situation. but, you know, at least say it in a way that it sounds like, you know, we're with you, like you're winking at us, because you're going to protect your future. That's all. Maybe just say that. We're trying to protect our future. Look, it's been a long season. Don't want to have Jalen out there and possibly get hurt. You know, maybe massage it a little bit more like that instead of saying, you know, Nate didn't deserve it. What, he's been third string? He deserved it? And you weren't trying to win. If you were trying to win, then your better quarterback would have been in there, because we saw what happened when Nate Sudfeld went in there. But, you know, it's a messy situation. Sal Palantonio will join us a little bit later on. And because as you move forward, have you seen enough of Jalen Hurts? The Carson Wentz situation? There's conflicting reports. Is it salvageable? If you're the Eagles, do you want him? If I could get a taker for Carson Wentz and that salary, and I was sold on Jalen Hurts, then yeah, I would do that. Because do I want to spend $100 million or more and have that cap hit with somebody who's not going to be playing? And if Jalen Hurts is the future, okay, fine. Nate Sudfeld is not, by the way. This program brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best tasting protein bar around. We love all 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip cookie. You'll believe me when you taste it. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP for 20% off. Oh, yes, Paulie.
The Eagles draft pick by losing last night went from number 9 to number 6. Did Doug Peterson have a good night?
Yes. Yes. You know, the public perception is that he didn't, because he was lying, and that they, you know, he was putting in a third string quarterback. You know, Jacksonville was tanking. They benched Gardner Minshew. Now, you can say Gardner Minshew, not exactly, you know, the second coming of Joe Namath here, but Gardner Minshew, they benched him. They just didn't do it on Sunday night TV. National TV, everything gets exposed because everybody's watching now. But Jacksonville, they didn't want to win. Anybody have a problem with the integrity of the game? No. Doug Marrone just got fired, by the way. Paulie, we need to have almost a sounder. Like, I don't even know what the sound would be, like a door closing or...
Like bells? Like hard, old gothic bells?
Yeah, I don't...
Shame.
Yeah. I feel bad. I mean, guys are losing jobs, but like Doug Marrone...
I obviously don't.
No, you're not. You have no sensitivity.
Well, if I had a buyout like Tom Herman, I couldn't wait to be fired.
Yeah. So Doug Marrone, according to Shefty, he's been shown the door. I guess they should fire him if they're hiring Urban Meyer. But, well, if they hire Urban Meyer. Yes, McLevin.
They're going to fight off Atlanta and other teams. Urban was all anybody was talking about for 4 days in the NFL.
Yeah, but I don't see him. If I'm Urban, first of all, I would not hire Urban Meyer. He's left 3 jobs, quit 3 jobs for health reasons. I would not hire him. Ryan Day, to me, Ohio State's head coach, is more attractive than Urban Meyer, because Ryan Day at least has been in the NFL as an assistant coach, I believe, and younger. How long is Urban Meyer going to do this? You're going to take the job. You know, you don't want to go to Atlanta. You're going to go to Jacksonville because you have Trevor Lawrence there. But although, isn't it interesting that he coached Justin Fields, but he's going to coach Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville? Like, he has his choice of, you know, hey, you, and by the way, Justin Fields looked awesome in that game against Clemson. But we'll talk college football. David Pollack from the Mothership will join us a little bit later on. But that just in, breaking news, the Jags have fired head coach Doug Marrone. All right, McLevin, what poll question are we looking at today?
Before I jump in the polls, can I just share my Eagles take real quick?
Yes. You being an Eagles fan?
When they pulled him, ha, 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 ha. That's the best thing that's happened since the Super Bowl. To see the Giants go down like that made me so warm and happy, because we hate the Giants much more than we hate Washington.
Okay, why do you think Doug Peterson did that last night?
I think I know as a fact that the Eagles have been interested in Sudfeld as a potential player for a long time, and they wanted to see him in a real game.
Oh, my God, stop.
They put a second round tender on him 2 years ago that he broke his wrist.
Were they trying to win that game last night?
No. Well, no, of course not. But with the Steelers, it's just like the Steelers were not trying to win against the Browns. They started Mason Rudolph. It's week 17. Nobody's trying to win.
Well, no, but Ben, of course, is got a bad knee, and they're not quite sure how healthy he is going into a playoff game here.
Right, but
Jalen Hurts is healthy.
But for the Eagles' self-interest, they wanted to see Sudfeld. What do they care about winning that game?
God. If you don't know what you have with Nate Sudfeld.
Sudfeld was out all of last year. He was like a hot thing. He's 6'6". He's out of Indiana.
Wait. On one hand, you're saying they didn't try to win. And then on the other hand, you're saying you got to put him in there. You want to see what you have, and this guy's a high-end backup quarterback.
Well, I think Doug thought he could win the game with him. By the way, Jalen Hurts, I don't know how he missed that fourth down touchdown. He had the guy wide open on his last play. I don't know that they know what they have with Jalen Hurts. I don't know if they don't draft a quarterback.
Then I would have played him. I would have kept Jalen Hurts in there. If you still don't know, you can't have Nate. Nate Sudfeld had no business being out there.
He didn't do anything. The guy snapped the ball to his foot, and he threw a 50-yard interception on third down. He didn't even have a chance. Question for you, though. What happens to Carson Wentz? I really am baffled by this.
I don't know if you can keep Hurts and Carson Wentz. After the success that Hurts didn't look great last night, a couple rushing touchdowns, but he didn't look great. But he has shown glimpses of, and he gave them a spark. I just don't want these salaries. If I can avoid that, then as long as I can, then yes. Because now I have Hurts on a rookie contract, and I got him for a couple more years before I'd have to pay him, an exorbitant amount of money. Carson Wentz, if you can get somebody to take that contract, then I'd certainly do that. Get out from underneath it. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, I have a bunch of poll questions about should this team keep this quarterback, like Jets with Sam Darnold, Dolphins with Tua. I don't know if there's a way to combine them, but have you looked at sort of these quarterback moves that might be happening?
Look at the Bears situation. The Bears are in the playoffs, and Mitchell Trubisky has actually played well. The second half of the season, he played well. And they're not going to be in position to draft a quarterback. But now, what's Mitchell Trubisky cost you? And that's where you go, what are we thinking? Like, he got you into the playoffs. You backed into the playoffs, but he's played well enough to keep the job, but at what price? But all that happens is, if Arizona wins, then the Bears don't make the playoffs, then does everybody get fired? Like, I don't know if it was that tenuous. Right? The Bears would technically be a playoff team. They're technically a playoff team, but are you going, man, I feel really good about our future? And I wouldn't. But, I don't know if I can take Mitchell Trubisky and get half price. Is it a sale? Like after Christmas sale with Mitchell Trubisky? I don't think so. All right, so the playoffs, they're set. The Jets have fired their head coach. Jags have fired their head coach. Derrick Henry, 2K. Aaron Rodgers, MVP. Steph, by the way, dropped 62 points. That was one of those where I go, I'll be damned. He had 62. Second oldest to put up over 60 points, second only to Kobe. But, there's a lot of things to get to. Your phone calls are always welcome, as we do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. What else do we have, McLevin? You want to do the quarterbacking? Because I can ask Peter King that quarterbacking question about what he thinks these teams will do.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of chatter about, do the Dolphins see enough out of Tua?
Ooh, man. Okay, here's the situation. When I watch Tua, I always think of Joe Burrow. Because Joe Burrow, that LSU offense was as good of an offense, skill position-wise, as I've ever seen in college football. And I've been watching college football a long, long time. And then you start to look at Tua with those wide receivers, and then you wonder, as I wondered with Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, I didn't know how good he was. I knew the receivers, it felt like, were always open. And we're finding out Dwayne Haskins is not a starter in the NFL. May have the ability, but, he's immature. I don't know. With Tua, by all accounts, good kid. Big games, But was he a byproduct of having those great receivers? And I think that's the real big question in Miami. They had a great season. By the way, you want to talk about a team that could be mad about, you know, their season, that they had 10 wins and they're not going to be in the playoffs. So, you know, they can only blame themselves, but you're in the AFC where it was tough sledding. And 10 wins doesn't get you in. But I need to see more from Tua. But now you're really the window is about 2 years, because Joe Burrow played really well with Cincinnati. And Justin Herbert played really well. They set the bar pretty high of what you expect out of Tua. And Tua looks tenuous. He doesn't, it's not scared as much as I don't think he feels like I can just go out there and let it go. And, you know, if you're going to, do I want to keep Ryan Fitzpatrick there with Tua? And he might cost me too much there, but, you know, I would strongly consider if Fitzpatrick wanted to stay another year or play another year, just to have him there as insurance. Because it's an older guy looking over his shoulder, as opposed to if you got a younger quarterback to bring in, you know, with Tua. But I haven't seen enough. I think there's more good than what people are recognizing with Tua. But if I'm the Dolphins, privately, I'd still want to see a little bit more. I want to see Alabama Tua. And I don't think we saw too many of those moments. But it's like Marcus Mariota. I never saw him be that dangerous player that he was at Oregon when he was with Tennessee. Never saw that. And I always wondered if we'll ever see that. I don't know. But when we saw it at Oregon, you saw something really special. And Tua, I'd like to see a little bit more. And based off of what Burrow did in Cincinnati, where he didn't have those wide receivers like he had at LSU, and he still made things happen. All right, so Peter King will join us. Your phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. I'm fired up. This is great. I was ready to come back last week. I came into the office. I came into the man cave.
Did you do a couple segments?
I just sat here, you know, and I turned on the lights and, you know, I had the big German turn on the camera and I just said, let me, you know.
You lit up Mississippi State for the brawl just in a dark room by yourself?
I wanted to yell at somebody, something. And because my wife goes, why don't you go into the studio? Get out of here. I'm like, okay. And then I just came in. I was, you know, hanging pictures, helmets. I was, you know, cleaning up the place. Yes, McLovin.
Did you do a segment on Liberty Coastal Carolina? Because I'd like to hear that if you did.
It was a great game, by the way. Great game. I watched a lot of college football. And no, it was good. But it's just too long to be off because there's so many things to talk about. Where you're going, wait, when did that happen? You know, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, was that after we took time off? Yeah. But glad to have everybody here in the man cave. And we're fully assembled here today. But we'll take a break. Peter King on loan from NBC Sports coming up. We'll check in with Sal Palantonio with the Eagles situation. Did the Eagles do what the Eagles wanted to do last night? Aside from the public relations hit that Doug Peterson's going to take, I think they accomplished what they wanted to. Coming up on 20 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Go the extra mile in your very own upfitted, that's another word for tricked out, Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van you could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com by January 24th, Mercedes-Benz vans. McLovin, do you have the poll question? Because I want to ask Peter King this. He's going to join us on loan from Football Morning in America.
Yeah, was Doug Peterson pulling Jalen Hurts disrespecting the game and anti-competitive, or was it the smart move long-term?
Oh, I thought you were doing the quarterback ones.
Oh, we are going to start with Doug Peterson, hour one. Then we're going to do, should the Jets build around Sam Darnold, and should the Dolphins draft a quarterback? Those are our next two. God. We have one poll per hour.
All right. Let me bring in Peter King, NBCSports.com, and Football Morning in America. Pete, thanks for joining us. Happy New Year. Let's start with the Eagles last night. Any issues with Doug Peterson?
Yes. I thought it was not a good thing for I mean, what's the right term? The honor of the game, the honor code that coaches have to have. And I'm not saying that that Jalen Hurts was playing great. I'm saying that Nate Sudfeld had not stepped on a football field for 105 weeks. And you put him in the game with whatever, 10, 12 minutes to go. You're going to have three more possessions in this game, probably. You're down by 3 points. And again, I don't think he did this with the thought of the sixth pick or the ninth pick in mind. I think he did it because he legitimately wanted to see Nate Sudfeld. This was not him, you know, playing with the integrity of his draft choice, let's say, or playing with his draft choice. It was, I think he legitimately wanted to see him. I don't think that it's the right time or the right place to do it. And I think you should do everything you can to win a game, particularly when a division title is on the line. And Doug Peterson did not do that.
But it's two different messages that you're saying. Hey, Sudfeld, you know, that he has that right to do it. He wants to see what they have. This isn't an important game for the Eagles. It's an important – if there was no playoff berth attached to this, would anybody care that he
– No. No, but there was a playoff berth attached to it. There was two teams sitting at the end of your edge of their seat. And look, I would just ask this question. And again, Logan Ryan, I talked to him about midnight last night of the Giants, and he said, listen, we basically didn't deserve it. You know, I'm not mad at the Eagles now. You know, off the record, is he mad at the Eagles? I don't know. But, you know, he told me I'm not mad at the Eagles. We didn't put ourselves in good enough position by winning six games. However, I am just saying, if Doug Peterson were the other team right there, if it was Washington playing the Giants and Washington pulled Alex Smith for John Doe, look, somebody said it on Twitter last night. You know, the time to look at Nate Sudfeld is either last August or this August. Not in the middle of a game with the pennant on the line.
Yeah, I agree. When I'm watching, I'm going, if you don't know what you have with Nate Sudfeld, then that's on you. Like, I'm not.
He doesn't have much with Nate Sudfeld based on what we saw last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, look.
But Pete, now he knows. He does know what he has in Nate Sudfeld.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he really didn't know what he had. But I disagreed with what he did.
Where will Carson Wentz be next year?
I think a lot of that is going to depend on something that is totally out of the Philadelphia Eagles' hands. Unless the Eagles say right now, absolutely, we're not getting rid of you. We're going to go to marriage counseling and absolutely that. But I think this depends quite a bit on whether Frank Reich has fallen in love with Philip Rivers enough to say that entering 2021, they want to go another 1 year, $25 million with Philip Rivers. Now, if the cap does go down some, they may have to say to Philip Rivers, you got to take a $5 million haircut or we're going to move on. And so the most important thing I heard in Chris Mortensen's report saying that the marriage is basically irretrievably broken or whatever words he used. The most important thing is that Carson Wentz is willing to work with an acquiring team and the Eagles to make the cap situation a lot less egregious.
Doug Marrone just got fired a couple of minutes ago, which is
there's a big surprise.
No surprise, but they got the number one pick and no coach. Do you think it is Urban Meyer? Like, is it his job if he wants it? They just have to go through the protocols here.
I don't report on this nearly as well or as thoroughly as guys like Schefter and Mort and Ian Rappaport and all these guys and Glazer. I don't do it anymore, Dan. But I did hear from a couple of coaches' agents over the weekend that, they are basically really interested in Urban Meyer, and they think that is the way that one is going to go. And my feeling about it is I would just approach with caution. You know, Urban Meyer is a guy who left jobs at 45, 46, and 54, either for health reasons or whatever reasons, and walked away from his teams. And so, and again, that doesn't mean anything, but I must say, I'm reminded of 15 years ago when Nick Saban signed for 5 years with Wayne Huizenga. He was finally going to get the Miami Dolphins back on the Shula track. Well, you know, 23 months later, he's sitting in his kitchen with Wayne Huizenga saying, "I'm sorry, I want out." And he's 15 and 17, and then he's the coach of Alabama the next day. So, again, look, Urban Meyer's never lost in his life. Dan, put an underline under that. He has never lost in his life. He's taking, he would be taking over a team that has won 25% of its games over the last 3 years. This is not, I don't care if you draft Trevor Lawrence and Jim Brown and Barry Sanders and Jerry Rice. You know, you're going to lose, and probably quite a bit. So I don't know. We'll see. I think, hey, look, they ought to fact find. They ought to be interested. I get it. And maybe they should hire him. But I certainly don't think it's a Nirvana hire necessarily if they hire him.
Yeah, I had a source last night say Ryan Day would be more attractive to him if you're the Jags, because you got a guy who at least has been in the NFL with, I think, the Eagles and the Niners, and he's a younger guy.
And the other thing about Ryan Day, Dan, is when Mike Vrabel was pursuing either the Indianapolis or the Tennessee job in 2018, he told the general managers in both places that most likely Ryan Day, that's the guy who I want to be my offensive coordinator. And there was a lot of hesitancy there, you know, like, hey, get a more established guy, like, you know, like maybe Daryl Bevel or somebody else. But, you know, Mike obviously has landed with the absolutely perfect guy in Arthur Smith. But I do think that Ryan Day is interesting to a lot of teams in the NFL.
The Jacksonville job or the Jets job with the ones that are open, what do you think is more desirable?
Well, I think both jobs would be really interesting to me, but I would have to know several things, especially about control, because the Jets' history is just replete with changes and failures and you know, trying something for 2 years and then moving on. I want to know about how solidly you're going to do this. I thought it was an encouraging sign that Joe Douglas got a 6-year contract. So that job is better than it was before Joe Douglas took it. And they've got two ones each of the next 2 years. If they choose to trade Sam Darnold or choose to trade that pick, they could have a lot better draft status in 2021. But I think the Jags is a good job too. But it is all about the people who surround you.
Talking to Peter King, his column, Football Morning in America, is out. Looking at the playoffs here, you know, short work week here for Jared Goff, that surgically repaired thumb. What's the likelihood he'll be available for the game against Seattle?
You know, all I know is that is what McVay said after the game last night. We don't know. And I don't think it's a disaster if he doesn't play because, honestly, you know, if he doesn't play, Dan, this had not been a good year for Jared Goff at all. And he had a very poor game, a couple of very poor games down the stretch. And so I'm not saying that John Wolford is better than Jared Goff. I'm saying that Jared Goff has really hit a rut. And I would much rather have Jared Goff play in the game, no question about it. But I wouldn't like to have a 68% Jared Goff play in the game. I'd rather just see if Wolford could do it and then see if Goff could be ready the following week if they beat Seattle.
I wonder what the Bears would be doing today if they didn't make the playoffs. If Arizona won, would we be looking at that situation differently with the head coach, with Mitchell Trubisky? And the fact they make the playoffs, now what do you do with Mitchell Trubisky?
I think Matt Nagy is going to return, and I think he would have returned even if the mathematics didn't work out that they would have made the playoffs. I think Ryan Pace, that's another story. I don't think they've made that decision yet, but I do think his status is up in the air. As far as Trubisky goes, my feeling is that that what the Bears probably will end up doing is bringing in a young quarterback for the future of the job and basically saying to Mitchell Trubisky, we'd love to have you back at a reasonable number. And if you can come back at a reasonable number, knowing that there's going to be competition for the job, that's great. And in my opinion, Trubisky is going to find a better opportunity somewhere else. Just my guess. Mm. And a lot can be determined by what happens in this playoff game. What if Trubisky shocks the world and the Bears win the game in New Orleans? Then I think there's a very good chance he would stay. But I do think that he's not coming back to a clean job where he's the man.
Did Tom Brady live up to the hype, the expectations?
Well, I would say this, Dan. After the game last night, yesterday, Bruce Arians said my goal for him was a 40-touchdown, 10-interception season. And he was 40-12. And Arians put an addendum on that. He said to be able to do this without much practice, with no off-season program, basically learning on the fly, starting in the middle of August, essentially, is absolutely amazing. And I agree with him. This, for Tom Brady to have one of his finest years, which under, by any measure, second most touchdown passes he's ever had. And you can say, well, he's got a great supporting cast. He does. But for him to have been able to do that is just another star in his galaxy, showing that he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
If I let you make your Super Bowl pick again, do a do-over.
I don't know. I'm like everybody else. I'm really enamored of Buffalo. I'd pick Buffalo and Green Bay. It would be the all-time Rust Belt Super Bowl. And I don't know who I'd pick. I'd probably pick Green Bay. I just trust Rodgers so much right now, the way he's playing.
And I wonder, because Kansas City didn't have anything to play for, if it factored in on who's going to win the MVP with, you know, Rodgers still putting up big numbers, whereas Mahomes the last couple of weeks, you know, didn't have to. And I wonder if the voters, I think the votes have to be in on Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, if Aaron Rodgers may have won the MVP the last 2 weeks.
That's a really good question. I think at the beginning of December, in my opinion, Josh Allen wasn't much of a factor. You know, he played his way into this. He may have passed Mahomes right now. And I haven't made my final determination what I'm going to do. It's either going to be Rodgers or Allen. I think it's very close. I'd probably say Rodgers would have a slight lead with me, but I do. Dan, every year for these awards, I spend maybe 2 or 3 hours today, late in the day, just, you know, no phone, no anything, and just really trying to give this significant thought. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to know anything. I just want to be able to think about it myself. The other one that's really hard this year is Defensive Player of the Year. You know, Xavien Howard, you could argue, had a better year this year than Stephon Gilmore had last year. Stephon Gilmore beat out Aaron Donald last year. So shouldn't Xavien Howard beat out Aaron Donald this year? And that's something I've got to think about, too.
You got a busy day ahead of you.
No, I don't. Now, I got a great nap coming up, Dan. I didn't go to bed till 5:15. So I'll have a good nap, and then I'm going to get up clear-eyed, whatever it is, and I'll figure everything out.
Thank you, Pete. We appreciate you getting up, and always appreciate the column. Football Morning in America, Peter King, NBCSports.com. Thank you. We appreciate it.
All the best, Dan. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break. Phone calls coming up. Play of the day as well. We'll settle on a poll question. Have some breaking news that has to do with March Madness. Have that for you coming up next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Wiggins gets it over to Draymond Green.
Look at Curry run.
Yep. Hand off Curry, takes another three. It's up and good! He hit it with a guy in front of him and a guy behind him. He's got 62!
That's your play of the day, courtesy of 95.7 The Game, Warriors Radio Network. Steph 62, a career high, and the most by a Warrior since Rick Barry scored 64 back in 1974 against the Blazers. That is your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, that Sprinter van. Go to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com, the ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes, and you can win a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. No purchase necessary. Just go to the website and have to do so by January 24th. I didn't even know the game was happening. Now, I just, you know, you get so programmed to follow what was going on with the NFL. And there was a game last night, playoff implications. And then all of a sudden I see the bottom line, the crawl, and it goes, Steph put up 62. And then I was curious about how old is the oldest player to put up 60, at least 60, and it's Kobe Bryant. Because there are certain players, you know, Kareem at that age was not, you know, shooting as much as he did when he was, you know, during the 1970s as opposed to the 80s. You know, I started to think of all these great scorers. You know, Maravich wasn't a factor at that age. You know, Kobe was the anomaly, an aberration, where you have somebody who was, and that was his last game, and I put up 60. But here's Steph, and you're surprised that Steph hasn't done this before, because Klay Thompson, you know, Klay is, you know, one of the great players in the history of the game who doesn't need to dribble the basketball. Like, when you think with Klay Thompson, I don't know if anybody who will go in the Hall of Fame who dribbled less than Klay Thompson. Unless it's a big man, you know, somebody that was just kind of stationary. Like the opposite of James Harden. When you think about it, Klay Thompson never dribbles the ball. Now, he's not going to play this year, but he's always coming off a screen, gets it, and then shoots. But here's Steph, who has the ball and now needs to score, and the fact that he's putting up, you know, over 30 shots, he doesn't normally do that. But just a reminder of, and we've needed a reminder from Steph Curry, of just how brilliant he could be, and putting up 62 last night. All right, a couple of phone calls. Al in Atlanta. Oh, no, hold on. Before I get to Al, let me give you this breaking news. This is from Anthony Calhoun from WISH-TV in Indianapolis. The Final Four, the entire NCAA basketball tournament, the entire tournament will be held in Indianapolis. Official announcement expected later today. So not the Final Four, the entire NCAA tournament will be held in the city of Indianapolis. All right. Al in Atlanta. Hey, Al.
Happy New Year, Dan.
Happy New Year, Al.
I got two best for the start off the year. The first best is a great football weekend, starting with the Peach Bowl and ending with Sunday Night Football until the fourth quarter when the Jets took a dive. And my second best is finally my Sundays will not be ruined by a 4-12 would be in fifth place in the NFC East Falcons. Thank God for the Chiefs.
All right, Al, you survived. Thanks for the phone call. Kay in Los Angeles. Good morning, Kay.
Hey, how's it going, Dad? Just want to ask your opinion on what coach the Jets should get. Harbaugh, I'm feeling, possibly Ryan Day, just somebody with some type of winning pedigree. Don't bring in like a no game, like a respectable face. And then I think it's time to get rid of Darnold. Maybe Fields, Lawrence, Wilson. I don't think we should trade that pick. We need a new quarterback. What do you think?
Well, you're not going to get Lawrence because he's going to go to Jacksonville. I would want to know what the market is for the number two draft choice. I would want to know what I could get. If I'm the Jets, I would be comfortable keeping Sam Darnold for another year. You know, this is year four with Sam Darnold, and then there'll be that fifth-year option. But as far as you know, who wants that job? You got a really good GM. As long as ownership stays out of the way, I would probably trade that pick. I'd want to see what the market is for Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, whoever that quarterback is that somebody is going to fall in love with. And it happens every year. Somebody is going to go, got to have this guy. And they're going to go up and get that guy. Is Justin Fields going to be the guy you're going to want to go up and get? But Trevor Lawrence, and I don't know if Urban Meyer is going to take that job. Because when the rumors started, I checked with a source and I said, can you see Urban going to the NFL? And my source said, Urban loves to be courted. He loves that you flirt with him, but I can't see him taking that job. And I went, okay. And then it gained a little bit more momentum. And then I checked with my source, and my source said, they're making a mistake, because how long are you going to have Urban for if he goes there? And is this what he really wants? Does he really want to coach Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence? Is that enough to get you to come back? And now you're going into the NFL? And you have less control, and you're a control freak. You don't have control in the NFL. You think you do, but you don't. And that's where my source said Ryan Day would be a better coach for Jacksonville. Now, he says he's not interested in this, and I don't blame him. Ohio State's a great job to have. Yeah, Paulie.
I was just thinking, if you're Ryan Day, you have a seat at Ohio State. You're a young man. You're cruising in the Big Ten.
You're good.
No one's battling you.
You're good. You're good. We'll talk to David Pollack. He'll join us on loan from the mothership. And I can't see Dabo. I can't see Dabo coaching in the NFL. Can't see it. Also, we'll check in with Sal Palantonio, covers the Eagles. Does he agree with Doug Peterson and his game plan last night? All of that coming up. More phone calls as well next hour. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.